Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Sean Morash with an Odyssey Sports Minute sponsored by NHTSA. No one should have to endure the trauma of learning you were killed in a car crash because you weren't wearing a seatbelt. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. This is Sean Morash with a CBS Sports Minute sponsored by NHTSA. Parity feels like it should be a great thing in the NBA playoffs. No LeBron, no KD, Giannis eliminated, and here we are with blowouts every game in the East and a pending sweep in the West. The NBA playoffs have become better for sleep than melatonin. Where's the juice? I'm Sean Morash.
Let us begin at TD Garden in Boston. Again, Game 4, Eastern Conference Finals. Miami had the 2-1 series lead coming off of Bam Adebayo's excellent 31-point effort in game number 3. Most observers believe this was the Celtics' game. Even before tip-off, Vegas had installed them as a 7-point favorite, even though they had just lost on home floor a couple of days ago. But it was even worse than that. From the opening jump, it was all Celtics. In fact, Boston jumped out to a 12-1 lead to set the tone. Then Cruz, at one point, this was a 30-point lead for the Celtics. We're now at 2-2, heading back to Miami. It is a game 5 of a split series of the Eastern Conference Finals. And so, after these 4 games, who has the advantage? It is where we begin. Your cold open.
Tatum in the corner against Duncan Robinson. Al pulls away so Tatum can play him one-on-one. Drives past him, steps through, reverses it up and in. He went right around Adebayo and reversed it off the window to put the Celtics up by 20. And Tatum has answered the bell here. Smothering defensive start here in game 4. And as the clock hits triple zeros, although no one could have imagined how we would get here, we're probably right where we thought we would be. The Eastern Conference Finals are now a best of 3. The Celtics blow out the Heat in game 4. The final score, Boston 102, Miami 82.
Focus was great tonight. We understood we have to be more aggressive and physical on the defensive end. You know, Bam got it going last game, and guys take that personal. So to hold their guys, nobody scored double figures with their starters. I think we obviously set the tone right there. But, you know, we have a prideful team, one of the best defensive teams in the league, and as well as individuals.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
All right, that was Sean Grandy on Celtics Radio. That was Ime Udoka after the 102-82 victory by the Celtics. After 4 games, advantage, Miami Heat. Even though last night the Celtics drummed the Heat by 20 points, it's still a best of 3 series with 2 of those 3 back in Miami. And the Heat have been excellent at home all season and have been truly elite in the playoffs at home. Now, the Celtics did win on Miami's home floor to open up this series. So it's not like they can't do it. But simply put, these two teams love their home court advantage. And 2 of the next 3 are going to be in Miami. And that's why there is an ever so slight edge you would give the Heat in the final 3 games. But there's a couple of things that are really concerned right now for the Heat. Number 1, the output of the starters last night was embarrassing. The Miami Heat starters were led by 9 points from Bam, 6 from Jimmy Butler, 3 from Kyle Lowry and Max Strus and PJ Tucker didn't score at all. When you have a total of 18 points coming out of your 5 starters, not only will you never win a playoff game, but it should be a personal affront when you look at that box score of just how pathetic your starters, your supposed leaders were. And that, to me, is the real worry here when it comes to the Miami Heat and how they need to win this game. I talked about how impressive it is yesterday on the show of how the Heat were built. This is not a superstar team. These are not high draft picks. These are all projects and role players and guys that had to polish their game and fight for a spot in the league, and they buy in because they are not superstars with huge egos, and Pat Riley wants it that way. But the flip side of that is that there could be some quiet nights, and last night was one of those. And I think that the Celtics, from a talent standpoint, overall talent standpoint, are the better team. But again, Miami is supremely well coached. They've got home court advantage in the final game 5 and game 7 if it goes that far. And there's a reason they were a 1 seed. They have known how to take care of business all season long. But this is as evenly matched as a series is going to be. And my only disappointment is you see these blowouts routinely now, not only in this series, but in the playoffs in general, and certainly these conference finals. And it makes me circle back to the fact that this NBA season is not defined by a great team or multiple great teams. That all of these squads have a stinker in there. All of these teams have a real turd in there. And last night was the Miami one. Now, I think that the Heat took their foot off the gas after winning Game 3. I think knowing they had gotten one on the road, they relaxed. They exhaled last night, and you just saw it from the opening tip. They were lethargic. They were slow. They just did not have the urgency that the Celtics had. And Boston knew that was their season on the line. You don't want to go down 3-1, go back to Miami. But that fact that there was such a snooze fest for Miami, I think is, you know, one of those real disappointments that if in a great series you want all the games to be competitive. And in this one, it's felt like there's been a huge swing game to game that one team hasn't shown up. In fact, in all 4 of the games, there's been a 20-point lead. Doesn't make for great playoff games. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4227. When I say there's no great teams, you know, Miami over the course of the season did earn the 1 seed, but so many people wondered, are they really the best team of the East, including myself? In the Western Conference, the supposed great team couldn't get out of the second round, the Phoenix Suns. This season was supposed to be the Suns season. This season had lined up to be the coronation finally for Chris Paul to win an NBA championship, for the Phoenix Suns as a franchise to win their first ever NBA finals, and for the 2021-2022 season to forever be the Suns' year. Because they were great, they were motivated, they were focused. From day one, from game one, they looked like they were on a mission. And then when they hit game 7 of that second round against the Mavs, they didn't show up, they took a nap, Dallas took advantage, and they were unceremoniously dumped. But I'm still not sure the Mavs are a better team than the Suns. It was that the Suns had 4 really bad nights in that series. Unless you might say, well, DA, that is kind of the definition of who's the better team, right? And that's totally fair. But the Suns blew them out at home, had 3 awful road games in Dallas, and then didn't show up in Game 7. And now we see the Dallas Mavericks might not even get a W in this Western Conference Finals. I know the Suns would have against the Golden State Warriors. But that's not how this thing works. You've got to take advantage of those game sevens, show up. And the Suns not only didn't show up, they were absolutely humiliated on their home court. You fast forward to this Western Conference Finals. Yeah, the Warriors are going to win, and the Warriors will be going back to a sixth NBA Finals in 8 years. But this isn't even close to the power or the invincibility that they've had in previous seasons when they were running roughshod through the league with Kevin Durant or had 73 regular season wins. Not even close. This is just a parity-stricken NBA season. And in some ways, that's great. It opens up the door, flings open the garage door for multiple teams, more fan bases to get involved. The issue is, though, the flip side of that is, are these great teams? I mean, Miami could win the NBA championship, and last night they trailed by 30. You know, hard to remember many really historic champions that when you got this far into the NBA playoffs could trail by 30 points. So, it's a bizarre season. It's not a predictable end of the season necessarily, but hopefully, now that we have perhaps 5, 6, and 7 from Celtic seat, we get some good games because we're going to get a short series out west, so at least if we get a long series in the east, give us some fun and exciting ends and finishes. Now, game three was, but it was only because Miami started to give away the lead and the Celtics clawed all the way back. But in that game, it was a huge lead for Miami as well. So kind of a bizarre set of circumstances in this year's NBA playoffs. Celtics with a blowout win last night, 102-82.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right, and remember that the show is always available in podcast form. That's right. If you want to hear something again, may have missed it the first time. The 4 full hours are available in podcast form and the best of the show. Now, the best of the show is about a 1+ hour version of the show, so you can use that as your daily podcast. Check it out. Search The DA Show on your favorite podcast platform. And this week, PGP 400 also coming your way. We start with Pete Carroll, head coach, Seahawks. How about this quarterback competition, as inspirational as they come? Forget Montana and Young, Favre and Rodgers. How about Drew Locke and Geno Smith?
He's right with us. Geno really has the package nailed, you know, and so I have that to gauge him on. And so he's hanging with G throughout all of this. And we're not holding anything back. We really have just unloaded the installation at this time. He's doing well.
Man, that is exciting stuff for 12s everywhere. Geno Smith has the package down. But Drew Locke is right there. Look out, NFC West. Look, this time of year, it's May. It's OTAs. It's involuntary or voluntary mini camps. So you know what? Everybody's going to say all the right things. And Pete Carroll is doing exactly that. I don't blame him. He's not going to sit there and say, woof, we got Drew Locke and Geno Smith. But you know the Seahawks don't want to go into the season with those two guys as their starting quarterback options. Or they're going into the season going, let's play for a draft pick because this is a good quarterback class. Neither one of these guys is the future. No offense to Seahawks fans, some of the best of the country. But they do not have their quarterback of the future on this roster. It ain't going to be Geno, and it's not going to be Drew Locke. Locke has some natural talent, but Locke was given every chance in Denver to win the job and refused to do so. I think there's always been focus and maturity issues around Locke. I don't trust that those things have gone away just because now he's in a new place. So I think that if anything, the Seahawks have one more trick up their sleeve. Maybe it's Baker Mayfield, although I would warn against that. Baker Mayfield. But I think maybe, if anything, If it goes wrong this year, Seahawks fans, take great solace of the fact that the worse you are, the better your opportunity will be to actually draft a good franchise quarterback, because there's going to be a couple of them in this upcoming draft. Here's Justin Thomas, having won the PGA Championship over the weekend, who seemingly took a shot at Jimbo Fisher.
Saban has a 24-hour rule.
Mm-hmm.
How long is the Justin Thomas celebrate the PGA Championship rule?
Yeah, I got a 24-hour rule. Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure what Jimbo Fisher's rule is, but I guess he's got to win something first before he figures out his rule.
I guess he's got to win something first. He's won a national championship.
Justin Thomas has had it with the bickering.
Look, I'm right there with you, Justin, in terms of poking fun at crazy, maniacally eyed Jimbo Fisher. I can't finish. I mean, the way that he went up there on the podium last week and just started spouting, it looked like fireworks were going to start coming out of his ears, smoke starting to rise from his head, eyeballs bulging out. Yes, he seemed unhinged, and I like making fun of the unhinged. However, you can't say he's got to win something first. The man has won a national championship. Now, I know that feels like a long time ago. It was the Jameis Winston Florida State team, and yes, it seems even longer ago when you say Florida State won a national championship, but that did happen. Now, to be fair, Jimbo's won exactly nothing at Texas A&M. If you're talking about that, at A&M, he's paid a lot of cash to win 8 games every year. But Justin Thomas taking a run at Jimbo. And finally, one of our favorite colleagues here on CBS Sports Radio, producer Shep, a.k.a. Dave Shepard, a.k.a. The Good Shepherd, executive producer of JR Sport Brief Nights here on CBS Sports Radio. And Shep, some believe, could be trying to curry favor with Pete the Body and I. As everybody knows, Pete the Body and I share a passion, a love of sitcoms from the 70s and 80s, and most of our pop culture references have happened more than 30 years ago.
Maybe 40.
Perhaps 40 in some cases. In fact, sometimes Pete the Body will drop a reference from like a sitcom of the 40s or 50s, like a radio serial. I'm like, man, Pete, even your knowledge is better than mine in this area. But here is Shep, perhaps playing to both Pete and my sensibilities, comparing Steph Curry to...
Well, people don't like Draymond. You and I both know that. People are sick of Steph's antics. I think people are a little bit sick that out, you know?
Who's people?
Most people do not like Draymond Green.
I'm not talking about Draymond Green. Yeah. You've extended it to Steph Curry. People are tired of his antics.
They are.
Who is they? Did you take a survey? NBA Twitter.
Yes.
I don't know.
People don't like his... He thinks... we've said this. He thinks he's Fred Astaire, Gene Kelly, John Travolta,
no.
Gregory Hines out there on the NBA basketball court sometimes.
Here's the thing. Steph Curry ain't never squashed a bug or done anything in his life.
That's what's happening on that show.
I gotta tell you, these little vignettes, these little snippets between JR and Shep are getting better and better. They really are.
It's like stand-up.
It's really good. I mean, at this point now, JR is just putting bait on a hook. Hooking Shep, and just keeps catching the trophy fish every time. Who's they, Shep? Who's they? Oh, NBA Twitter? Oh, okay. Who's they? You take a survey yet, Shep? Who's they? So, Shep might be the only guy at CBS Sports Radio whose references are more dated than me and Pete, because he's dropping, for the best dancers, I suppose, Gene Kelly, Fred Astaire, and Gregory Hines.
He thinks he's Fred Astaire, Gene Kelly, John Travolta,
no.
Gregory Hines out there on the NBA basketball court sometimes.
Shep's dancing references got up to 1978 and then stopped. Forget Michael Jackson, Janet Jackson, any Usher, anybody that's dancing. I mean, like, He got up to Saturday Night Fever or a few late 70s movies with Gregory Hines, and then that was it.
Yeah, early Travolta, not later Travolta.
He got to, like, Grease, and then that was it.
Yeah, no Pulp Fiction in there.
Shep, also, if you listen, just adds words to make himself sound smarter. He said NBA basketball court. Just say the basketball court.
Who is they? What, did you take a survey?
NBA Twitter.
NBA Twitter.
Yes.
Yeah, by the way, using NBA Twitter as any type of temperature check on the audience at large or people at large is usually a bad idea.
I was cutting this audio in the newsroom when Pete the Body walked in, and the only thing Pete heard when he started his day was Fred Astaire. Yeah. And that's how he responded to me. What? Fred
Astaire? That's older for McCann. That's even older than McCann's references.
Also, do we even think Shep, do we even think, rather, Steph Curry knows who Fred Astaire is?
No chance.
Steph Curry's doing the shimmy shake. He's like, I am right now conjuring up my inner Fred Astaire.
Draymond's not in shape like Jack LaLanne and Suzanne Summers. Jesus, man.
He doesn't have a thigh master.
He's on Twitter so much, like, Fred Astaire? Come on. Chef's better than that.
He thinks he's Fred Astaire, Gene Kelly, John Travolta, no. Gregory Hines out there on the NBA basketball court sometimes.
Did he write those down?
Yeah, Chef's also rattling off every dancer he knows.
I think he's got a spreadsheet of when he needs to make references. All right, 70s dancers. All right, these are the names.
I have drops. He has spreadsheets.
Insert dancer with Steph Curry take here. Got Fred Astaire, got Gene Kelly. You know what? I'm emptying the bucket today.
Roll through them.
I haven't been able to use these in 3 months. I'm emptying it out right now.
There's all four of them.
They're not a good band. Not like the Andrews Sisters and Gene Krupa. What rock was he born under? I hope this gets back to him. You deserve it, Shep.
One of Shep's biggest fans right there.
I love Shep. That's why we bury him.
The sizzle of the best goals.
Sing us a song. You're the overtime ending man.
The saltiness of the best games.
Because we're having a good time.
Crave the nightly action of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
That's a hockey, you know, it's only a game. Why do you have to be mad? He's a good guy.
It's your morning serving of Canadian bacon. Only on the DA Show.
I feel alive!
Big night on ice, and Mraz has the highlights. Canadian Bacon, take it away.
DA, two games on the ice last night. No NHL team had won 10 straight postseason series since the 80s Islanders dynasty. That is exactly what the Tampa Bay Lightning were attempting to do on Monday night. They are a real tough cookie with a long history. In a rare back-to-back on the playoff schedule, the President's Trophy-winning Panthers were looking to avoid the embarrassment of a sweep and a quick two-day trip to Florida's West Coast. The Lightning would have not one, but two goals waved off in the second period. But Pat Benatar Maroon hit Florida with his best shot. Boom, boom, boom. Fire away.
Goes in to keep right point. Shoots. Save made. It dropped down.
It's in.
Score! Maroon tipped it. I'm not sure if that bounced in off him or Hagel put it in. What a weird sequence that was.
That call, courtesy of Dave Mishkin on the Lightning Radio Network. Yes, Pat boiled the Panthers' defense with that goal, and it is all the Lightning would need. Andre Palat added an empty netter, and the Lightning broke out the broom, sweeping the Panthers. The story, though, for Tampa was Andre the Giant Vasilevsky in net. The reigning Conn Smythe Trophy winner stopped 49 shots in this shutout. It was his sixth shutout in his last seven series-clinching wins. Alex Killorn, give me how great your goalie was for 100, please.
I think we'll go down as one of the best goalies that's ever played the game. I think, you know, that's how you kind of gauge players, is how they perform in big-time games, and he's been nothing but tremendous in these games.
For Vasilevsky, it was his 57th career postseason victory, moving into a tie with Tuukka Rask for 17th on the all-time list. He's allowed one or fewer goals in 28 of his 87 playoff starts. Just an incredible run for Vasilevsky. Now, your player of the night. The Avs were in St. Louis looking to do the most damage under the arches since the last time I ate 3 quarter-pounders with cheese in one sitting. The Blues got off to a 1-0 lead, but without goaltender Jordan Binnington, the second period would become the most disappointing St. Louis sports moment since they drafted Sam Bradford. All Nas needed was one mic, but he had COD 3 goals on the night.
Puck is free. Kadri, he scores! Throw the chapeau! The Kadri man can! 3 goals in the game, and the Avalanche lead is back to 2. 5-3 Colorado, and Kadri has 1, 2, and 3 of them.
That goal, courtesy of the Avalanche Radio Network. Nazem Kadri was the subject of internet death threats from Blues fans and booing all night after he injured Binnington in Game 3. But it fueled his hat trick and the 6-3 Avalanche win as Colorado takes a 3-1 lead and will look to have the Blues play their final note on Wednesday night. That is your Canadian bacon.
Sounds like a 4.5 again for the second morning in a row. Wow, Mraz is now feeling the flow. Back-to-back 4.5 oinks on Canadian bacon. My, oh my, how the tables have turned. Couple of thoughts on this. Really liked the multiple song singing. You know, that's obviously going to be right in my wheelhouse. You had a Pat Benatar. You had a Nas. Is there another one I'm missing?
Well, what I did was I took notes from last week's Canadian Bacon, and Andrew Bogish, if you remember, said, when it comes to some of the musical stuff, why not theme it? So if you remember, I started with The Lightning Were a Real Tough Cookie with a Long History, and it fed into the Pat Benatar a couple lines later with Hit Florida With His Best Shot, Fire Away.
Yep, that was good stuff. Love a Benatar. Didn't know if the Nas thing worked in terms of you trying to rap.
I'm not a good rapper.
Right. But the thought was there, and that's what counts. So I'm always going to grade up on something like that. Pat boiled the Panthers. Boom. That's just an excellent line. Really, really good. The damage under the arches was an interesting one. I mean, obviously, it's a little lowbrow. It's bathroom humor, but we do sometimes traffic in that here. But when you say damage under the arches...
Oh, I wasn't going with bathroom humor.
Since you...
I meant like I was just eating a ton of... It was a hat tip to McDonald's with the arches. I didn't even think of that, but that actually makes more sense. That was not my intent.
I picked up on Mraz. I got your original intention.
Okay, so just the eating of that many quarter pounds.
It was more of a self-deprecating, I'm fat at a fast food place.
Well, either way, damage under the arches. St. Louis only has one arch.
I understand that. McDonald's has two. What I was trying to do is, you guys really loved when Pat Boyle played into the Calgary saddle and the theme of the city. So I was trying to give you a little taste of that. I was trying to take what you liked from that and try to spin it here.
Yeah, really the only thing that I might grade down on is that you caught yourself saying Islanders before you were supposed to say Lightning, I think.
Yeah, no, it wasn't perfect. Absolutely. I also gave you the COD 3 instead of Kadri at 3 goals.
Got it. But yeah, overall, I mean, you're starting to really feel your oats here. The writing is strong. You're getting in and out of clips well. It's not meandering. It's not the long journey that you originally were... We're looking to take all of the listeners on. And now you're adding the songs in there. I got very little to critique. Pete the Body, Why did this get a 4.5?
Well, exactly what you said. The writing was strong. The songs were strong. I mean, the singing is what it is, and it adds to the product. The only thing I didn't like was the last song. I don't know how I thought it was like too much of a shoehorn. It felt like
the Nas one.
Yeah, yeah, but we give the A for effort on it. We won't grade totally down on that, but that would be the one if I had to pick something out of it. Would be that part. But okay. Other than that, I thought it was very, very strong.
Okay. Wow, back-to-back 4.5. You got to feel good about this.
I feel really good. I'm putting the work in. I feel like I'm in a groove, and I'm hyper-focused right now. I'm putting forth the best product I could possibly do every single day here in Canadian Bacon.
Mm-hmm. Greg Caserta, how did you feel that went?
I only caught like 2/3 of it because I was doing my 880 update. So I got in. I did not hear the Nas lyric, but everything else I heard was very solid.
Okay. Wow. Well, you know, what's going to be interesting is that Bogus will have come back to a totally new world where Mraz is now crushing Canadian Bacon, that he's getting graded well. He feels properly respected. He's now perfected the craft. Bogus is going to be like, where did this all come from? So much will have changed when Bogus finally comes back on Thursday. A new world for him.
Yeah, I that does make me a little sad that he didn't get to hear today that I actually took one of his suggested notes and applied it today, and it seemed to be a big hit.
Can I ask you a hockey question here?
Yes.
Vasilevsky being considered one of the great postseason goalies ever, you don't ever hear him considered a Hasek, a Wah, a Brodeur, but is he now in the conversation?
Well, he's now building the momentum, and you still have a long way to go here with another round potentially versus either Carolina or the Rangers and then the Stanley Cup. But, D.A., we haven't had a team win 3 cups in a row since the Islanders. This is the first team to win 2 cups in a row since the Penguins a few years back. If he is going to be the backstop goaltender behind a quite literal dynasty, how do you not talk about him in that way? I think the problem is, early on here with the Lightning, they have Stamkos, they have Kucherov, they have, you know, these big star forwards that you might have taken Vasilevsky for granted, but he keeps pitching shutouts. They gave you that stat. Out of 82, 27 is a lot.
Wow.
That's a third of the games with one or fewer goals. Like, that is a lot. So, yeah, the problem is when you're a Hasek and you're a Wah, you're the star of the team. I forgot who said it last night in hockey where I saw it on Twitter. It's almost unfair to have a picture putting a goaltender like that with forwards that are Hall of Famers in Stamkos and Kucherov. It is just an incredible balance that team has. And we might be looking at, for all of us in our adulthood, the greatest hockey dynasty that we will ever see in our lives.
Kasur, do you agree?
Yeah, he's right. I mean, you know, with the Rangers, you mentioned Shesterkin first. With the Lightning, you mentioned Vasilevsky, what, third or fourth when you talk about that team? And yeah, the numbers back it up. 27 out of 82 playoff games. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Unbelievable. And by the way, 49 shots he's getting shutouts, too. This isn't, you know, defense in front, 20, 22 shots.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do more on the Lightning because they're becoming really, really interesting from a historical perspective a little bit later on in the show. But they have now moved into the conference final. And they have won back-to-back cups already, so they are now 2 rounds away, 8 wins away from 3 consecutive cups, which even Gretzky's Oilers never did. Gretzky's Oilers won 2, then 2, and then he left, and Messier and company won 1. The Penguins with Sid the Kid and Malkin won 2 in a row. They didn't get to 3 in a row, so the last team to do 3 in a row, the Islanders, which did 4 in a row between 80 and 84. That's a freaking long time ago, so that's what we're sitting on. So Greg Caserta's got your headlines right now. Mr. Caserta, where do we begin?
We're sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Progressive can protect your home, auto, boat, motorcycle, ATV, RV, and more. In short, a lot of things. Bundle today at Progressive.com. The Heat never really had a chance in Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals last night. A 29-11 first quarter deficit set the tone in Boston as the Celtics tied the series with a 102-82 win. Jason Tatum at 31, while Victor Oladipo, of all people, led Miami with 23. Eric Spoelstra's group shot just 33%.
Our offense, you know, really hurt us at the beginning. We just weren't getting the kind of purposeful execution, you know, that you need to on the road. And then they were able to just kind of get some relief points from that and then get to the free throw line. And they jumped out to that lead. And it just kind of, that was the story for the rest of the game.
So it's been win-loss in that series. Miami has been blown out in both setbacks. The Warriors go for the knockout punch in Game 4 tonight in Dallas. The last playoff game decided by 5 or less, Game 5 between the Bucks and Celtics 2 weeks ago.
That's the last playoff game in general?
The whole postseason.
You're kidding.
I looked it up.
Two weeks ago?
Yeah, I went day by day. Nothing's been remotely close. I think Game 3 or Game 2 between them was separated by 6.
Yep.
But 5 or less 2 weeks ago.
But that one that was separated by 6 was a 20-point lead
right.
by the Heat that the Celtics clawed back in. We haven't had a close playoff game in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
How about that?
Ugly.
Brutal. Brutal.
NHL playoffs, we talked about it. The Lightning took care of the Panthers 2-0 to sweep the President's Trophy winners. The two-time defending cup champs are into the Eastern Conference Finals, and they're going to get a nice break. Rangers and Hurricanes playing Game 4 tonight. Rangers looking to tie that series up. Jack Stern's fingers are anxiously awaiting puck drop so he can fire out his wonderful hockey tweets.
He stinks, and I don't like him.
I had to mute Jack on Twitter because I want to tell him to
shut up.
Merez, what's the angle? Is he a Rangers fan? Does he watch for the officiating? Not everything has to be a Tom Rinaldi human interest story.
That's such a good way to put it. I think he just feels the need to have a deep-thoughted take about everything, and it comes across so disingenuous. All meanwhile, he has no idea how to cut an NBA highlight out there.
The guy who was training, I think, may have did more.
So what's going on in his Twitter? I don't follow Jack.
Which is unbelievable. You could call him for a wing recipe, but you can't shoot a coworker
Look,
or a follow.
I know what I'm getting into there.
Okay, there's probably three ways to approach Twitter. The right way and the me way and the Jack Stern way. All right? I watch a game.
The right way, the Mraz way, and the Stern way.
I think that's a fair way to look at it.
Yeah.
I'll fire off a Let's Go Rangers, some GIFs. I'll really get amped up my team. That's probably stupid. Nobody wants to see that when they're following me in my timeline. Fine. There's the right way, which is just like, you know, big moment here. Let's have a discussion. Then there's the Jack Stern way where he feels like he needs to teach you something on everything happening in every moment of a playoff game. And it's just, like, there's no quick, it's, you know, I know because this is how. And it's like he's writing a thesis with every tweet.
Right.
It's sports, dude. We're all eating dipsy doodles of French onion dip with bacon. We don't need you thinking like you're at a chalkboard with a class.
So from Sunday, he said, and again, I muted him, so I had to go and look through his Twitter. Mika needed to score the opening goal to get the Rangers going. I smell another one coming. No, anybody could have scored to get the Rangers going. He didn't score again, so your prediction was wrong. Now, we're going to go to a regular tweet. Since we're picking on him today, this is fun. So
today?
In response to the Saban-Jimbo Fisher back and forth, although the Saban dynasty is far from over, last week's pettiness from the King of Tuscaloosa signified fatigue in more ways than not. Shut up.
What does that mean?
Right.
I hate when thought has to be put into it, like because it takes him time to write this stuff.
It's sports.
Oh, no, that was his column on the website. Saban Fisher rift could signal beginning of the end for Jedi Master.
What?
Oh.
Shut up.
And yet all the cuts are out of order last night. And we put him responsible for training someone.
Yeah, well, so I'd rather do this than tackle him head on. Because he's such a good kid. I don't want him to think that he's really...
He is a good kid.
We're still good. We're still cool, right?
He really is a good kid.
Yeah.
But Shep's a good kid, too. You could be a good kid and suck.
Yeah, your Twitter can suck, and you could still be a good person.
But Shep's not a kid anymore.
It's true.
Shep's lived a life at this point.
He's been doing this here at least 10 years.
Yeah. I mean, he's been here almost since the beginning of the network. You know, Jack really is young. He's,
yeah.
what, he's 22 or 23 or something like that.
So. Yeah, I guess Shep's taught kids in Memphis that already have better jobs than him.
Hello?
I think we lost EA.
You heard me wrong?
Wow.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Black Rose tweets, good morning, crew. Sounds like Bob's Bar, the shindig, could mimic the movie Project X. Now, that'd be friggin' hilarious.
Oh, no, it would not be.
It would
be. Sounds like it'll be loads of fun, though.
Get that guy a napkin.
Project X is a house party going horribly awry.
I'm going to be really punished if this comes into Project X. Like, I might be grounded.
How are you going to be punished? You don't live there.
I don't know. They'll find a way to ground me. I'll definitely have to stop making Christmas lists then.
After the show today, we have a logistics meeting trying to figure out if we have way more people than we originally thought.
Tell them the wrong address.
Are we prepared? We worry about parking and food and drinks.
Power.
And security and bathrooms and seating and power. Power.
Plates.
Power. Or it's definitely not worried about drinks. It's BYOB, damn it. You'll be lucky to get a jello shot.
No, no, no. It can't be BYOB.
Well, there'll be some, but, you know, bring a 12-er. You know, what are you doing?
You're going to have to hire a caterer for this.
This is awesome. This whole shindig began. If you can get there, great. And bring a bag of baked Lays. Then it's transitioned into bring a 12-er. What are we doing here?
Bring a grill while you're at it.
And your own roll of toilet paper.
Bring a grill.
Matter of fact, pretend you're on the show Survivor and pick the four things you'd be allowed on the island with.
Hey, if anyone has a porta potty too, bring that too.
I actually had a good brainstorm today, but then thought about it, and I think it short-circuited. The power, power,
power, went power, out. Power.
I was going to stay over upside down Mike's house.
It's a great idea.
He lives just down the block. I've done it before after a block party. Upside down Mike would come to the affair as well. But then I realized he's got a pregnant wife.
Yeah, I was told by my mother that the guest room is entirely open. Anybody on the show wants to sleep over the night before or the night of.
Oh, that's nice.
So that's right above the bar, right above the bar. So that is completely open.
Imagine I sit down and watch Jeopardy with Bob and Nancy, have dinner with them, and go to bed in their guest room.
Well, it should also be noted, too, we are going to be coming off game one of the NBA Finals with this Bob's Bar show, too.
But so Upside Down Mike's guest room isn't available. For
yeah, I think it's actually a nursery now.
Yeah.
So
I can't sleep in there.
She could give birth that night, too. That would be DA driving him to the hospital.
I got it. I got it. Upside Down Mike's got to watch the game. I got it. Mike, it's a girl.
Oh, and my sister did alert me late last night. No random people taking dookies in her house. She saw the video and said, absolutely not.
Really?
No. Told them to go back to Ohio to do their number twos.
No. So no power there.
Power.
This is going to be a delirious mess. It will be one giant chaotic nightmare. You watch.
Yes.
And what I would say is I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Wait till you hear who we have showing up, by the way. I mean, that's even the funny. We haven't even announced the absurdity of the guests that are coming. This is like peak ridiculous. I didn't think it could get more ridiculous in this show, but it has.
So what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, thanks for being with us on a Trash Tuesday. Mraz, lead us off. Who are you trashing?
DA, I am trashing the insane quick growth of these white clover weeds I have in my yard. We've wiped out the dandelions. We've moved past now to late May, early June. And there's these little clovers that now are popping up with white flowers. And the moment I cut them down with a little trimmer, little weed whacker, the next day they've sprung white again, the same exact weeds, no matter what you're digging them out. They are a pain in the neck. I noticed them last year, but I'm getting a bunch of them. I went to my local gardening center, and the weed spray they sold me for my April weeds doesn't apply to the clovers. I have to now get a new spray that works on that as well. So it's just this never-ending battle. There's always something. They poke through perfectly good grass, and you every day now I need to keep up with the white clovers. I've had it with them. Get them out.
Trash them.
It's the landfill. Overnights in El Paso.
Maybe you should just let them grow.
No, then it looks like crap. Then I got random little white weedy flowers all over.
You spend so much time on this lawn.
Yeah, because I'm a good neighbor. Trust thy neighbor.
But this is not about being a good neighbor. This is about your pride in your own lawn because you want attention or credit for it.
There's three houses for sale in my block, two open houses that just happened this weekend. Would you buy a house if you saw everybody else's lawn looking like crap? No, I'm trying to do good to everybody else.
That's not why you're doing this.
I have pride. That's why I'm doing it. Pride.
Driving up the property values, first thing on his mind, not buying it.
No, because I want good people looking and going, I'm not moving into a trash neighborhood. This guy takes care of his lawn. I'm trying to take care of my lawn.
Okay, but again, that's a selfish reason. You want a better neighbor, which is why you're putting out a good lawn.
I guess. Wouldn't everybody want good people living by them?
You want a better neighbor.
Yeah, you know what? I want a better neighbor than the one that lives two doors down that leaves their lawn looking like crap. Yes, I do. I want people to have well-manicured lawns, and I don't think it's that crazy. If I'm putting in the work, they can too.
Pete the Body, who are you trashing?
Well, first, I'm trashing this guy for constantly bringing up lawn topics. Get a landscaper. That's the best $130 I spend every month.
Guy trashed the IRS 15 times in a row. I can't trash weeds.
Well, get a landscaper. That'll help ease your mind, I'm telling you right now. But I am trashing contractors that come into your house, and you know it's an obvious money grab. We had someone come in this past week to do to take a look at some stuff, and they gave me the bill, and it was all about the bill. They didn't look at the problem. They didn't look at anything, and we knew no good. Get them out. So I'm trashing contractors that are only in it for the bucks.
Mm-hmm. Household waste goes in this bin.
Greg Caserta, who are you trashing?
I'm trashing old people trying too hard to look young. I was going to focus first on Tony La Russa and his hair. And that Joe Pepitone dye job that he's got. And then I saw Janet Gretzky at the Rangers game on Sunday, and I didn't realize you could pump Botox into somebody's face with a fire hose. That was disturbing. It's like, hey, let's go to the crowd, and a lizard person sitting next to the great one. That's who I'm trashing. Stop trying to look so young.
That's just offensive.
I did not see Janet Gretzky. Mraz, how did it look?
I thought she looked good, personally. I didn't say lizard person. Like, if she wasn't with the great one and I was the great one, like I once proclaimed, I'd be with Janet even at that age.
She is a beautiful woman. She's only 61. She has overdone it. Hmm. You know, she did it in years past, but seeing her the other day was...
Brady's going to get there, too. Brady's already starting to look like he's overdoing it, and he's 44 going on 45. What happens at 64 going on 65? He's going to end up looking like the wrestler.
I don't know. I just found the picture on Twitter. I don't think she looks that bad. I think this is a bad concern to take. I'm going to be honest. She looks great.
You sure it was a recent picture, though?
No, this is the one because I saw it at the game. I just found it. I searched on Twitter. I just sent it in our G-chat.
I'm showing you on my phone. That's a screen cap.
Yeah,
it's too much.
It's pulled tight. It's pulled real tight.
She's married to the great one. She's allowed to not have wrinkles.
But can anyone...
It doesn't look like her lips are a big balloon. They're fine.
But can anyone age gracefully? I mean...
That's all I'm asking.
There's some people that look great in their 60s.
Totally.
And have to put Botox in their face, and they shouldn't have...
They don't want to look like the Tales of the Crypt guy. Leave them alone.
All right.
Yeah, but what Pete's saying is that sometimes not doing anything makes you look more beautiful or more handsome because you're aging natural.
Oh, get out of here. Nobody's ever looked at a 70-year-old hag and said, get lost.
She would still look good. I'm just saying she overdid it. She went to the well too many times. And it's, you know, the neck and the face don't correspond. It's like square peg, round hole.
Mm-hmm. I think Suzanne Somers is similar with the face work.
It's a disaster.
Oh, that's a bad
one.
She
didn't have to do that.
It's a disaster. You're right. It's a disaster. It's just an absolute disaster.
If we could all afford the Botox to make ourselves look pretty, we're all doing it. I think it's a jealousy thing when you bash.
But you would pump the brakes after a while.
We could afford it. Botox is damn cheap.
Is
it's
it?
Really
yeah, it's
cheap
not expensive.
These days.
I thought it was like $50,000 a job.
Oh my God. It's like 70 bucks.
What?
Yes. Yeah. Now you're thinking about, you know, when you have the
face transplant.
Yeah, when you have a face tuck. Like a face tuck's a big deal. When you have like plastic surgery, that's a big deal.
So when you do like the cement into your nose or your lips or whatever,
man, they shoot Botox.
That's in South America.
Why is it only rich people are getting it? Why aren't I getting it?
You can, believe me.
So I could get, like, I flab under my armpits. I could shoot a little Botox, tighten that up is what you're telling me?
And what do you think Botox is going to do to the flab on your arm?
Tighten it up. Look at this thing wiggle here. It's all about tightening the structure, making me look younger.
It'll tighten your face up. I don't think it does fat.
Mraz wants his Jell-O arm to look like Jim Palmer. That perfect crease.
Go do Botox. That'll be the next bit for the show.
We need something for the summer. Go do that.
You'll look just like that Wooly Willy pick that Kat uses on every single graphic that we have. The Golden State Warriors are now in year 8 of NBA dominance. Why can't we pronounce Warriors? W-A-R-R-I-O-R-S. It's not Warriors. There's no why. It's Warriors.
The Warriors have taken a commanding 3-0 lead. Final score, Warriors 109. Warriors, Warriors, the Warriors, Warriors. Warriors go up by 3.
And this is everywhere. People everywhere keep saying Warriors. It ain't Warriors. It's war. And look, Tim Roy calls a good game. The man's the voice of a team that he doesn't pronounce the R's in. It's Warriors. This is happening all over the place. I can't escape it. They're going to go for their 6th NBA Finals after tonight. We got to pronounce. This isn't the Titans who never make a Super Bowl. This is the Warriors who keep making all of the NBA Finals. Warriors, Warriors.
Warriors, Warriors, the Warriors, Warriors. Warriors go up by 3.
Illegal dumping.
So you don't like when people who cover a sport can't say a team name right? So I think I've had that take before, and you haven't had my back on that.
You're singling out one specific guy. I'm talking about, in general, there's a lot of people that keep messing up Warriors.
But you're playing highlights, so it would tell me that somebody who's in charge of calling NBA games and Warrior games should say a team name, right? So shouldn't somebody hosting an 8-hour NFL show say all the team names, right? Titans!
I forgot.
Warriors, Warriors, the Warriors, Warriors. Warriors go up by 3.
Titans! Me thinks you should have had my back.
Me thinks.
Holy smokes.
Rob the 321 is trashing his wife's cousin. She sends a text to my wife that says, hey, we're in Florida. How about a, hey, we're coming to Florida in May. Who in the blue hell decides to make a surprise visit? Really, you dumbass? I'll be at Bob's Bar, the only way Mraz wants me. In spirit. Trash Tuesday.
We're eroding.
Sounds like Mraz just ducked a huge grenade that Rob of the 321 would have made it to Bob's Bar, but now there's a surprise visit from his wife's cousin.
I paid that woman to go. I'm happy that she's showing up in Florida. Thank you.
Carla wants to be clear. I'm trashing myself for not being clear enough. I was not defending Jack Stern. I don't like that guy.
Fair.
He didn't show you guys any respect when he was on, so I'm going to trash him, too. Yeah, you did hear me wrong.
Are those maggots?
You heard me wrong?
Hashtag ho, ho, ho.
Just just love the idea that any positive attachment to Jack Swain, you're like, whoa, no way.
No.
It's like Aaron Boone and Josh Donaldson. I can't defend that. Can't defend that guy. Greg Caserta has headlines.
And they are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. What do your home and auto have in common? They're yours, and Progressive protects them both. Bundle today at Progressive.com. I want to do my due diligence and provide an update on the Washington Commanders and the story from earlier about the new stadium site. So some clarification, they've acquired the right to purchase the 200 acres of land. They haven't officially purchased it, but now they can if they want to. Their lease at FedEx runs through 2027, so nothing would be imminent. But this is apparently a textbook play to start a possible bidding war because they've been looking at five different sites for a new stadium if they decide to move.
Okay.
There's that. There's also the quarterback competition in Seattle between Drew Lock and Geno Smith.
I don't care. I don't care. My jokes don't go over. I don't care. Everybody, I don't care. I don't. He does not care. I don't care.
Kevin Meaney. God bless you. They were trying to make that a story yesterday, so I thought I'd throw that in there. NBA playoffs. Celtics beat the Heat by 20. They retied the Eastern Conference Finals at 2-2. And you talked about the Warriors. Uh-huh. One win away from a sweep tonight in Dallas. What's scary is Steph Curry said they're better than they've ever been.
For sure. This is obviously magnified by the moment. I think you can look at other stretches where he probably played better offensively and better defensively at spurts, but to put it all together and for it to lead to wins at this stage, that's really all that matters.
Okay.
And NHL players.
The Warriors.
He's admitting that they're not very good.
No, I'm saying, right. He was saying that they're fantastic right now. Like, they're rolling.
Oh, so he's saying that sarcastically.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, I guess we're not very good.
Yeah. Like, he's saying, like, yeah, this is the best team that we've had, I think, is what I got out of it.
Oh, I thought he was saying we've had better teams. We're just playing well right now.
Maybe it was that. Maybe it was, this is the best we've played.
Yeah.
The personnel is different, but this is the best we've been playing.
Or maybe just the season.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe
this isn't a better team than the Kevin Durant years.
No, it's not.
The way I've interpreted all these Kerr things is like he's taking it personal that everybody threw cold water on the Warriors the last 2 years.
Okay.
Like, oh, everybody counted us out. Everybody counted, like, this is like a big redemption run. It's about a bunch of sarcasm from Kerr this whole
time. There we go. Okay. I didn't know Steph could be sarcastic.
Oh, is it Kerr or Steph that you're talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry. You heard me wrong. I was talking about the way Kerr has approached all this.
You heard me wrong?
There's so much you heard me wrong on this show.
Yeah, there is. NHL playoffs, Lightning coasted into the conference finals. They swept the Panthers with a 2-0 win. The Avalanche lead the Blues 3-1 after Nazem Kadri's hat trick sparked a 6-3 win. Baseball, Padres got by the Brewers 3-2 in 10. Giants are now 6 back in the West. They lost to the Mets 13-3. The Mets are a season high 14 games over. Paul Goldschmidt hit a grand slam to lift the Cardinals to a 7-3 win over the Blue Jays in 10. And no one in baseball is close to Aaron Judge, who has 5 more homers than anybody else.
That'd be a 2-2 to Judge. Swung on. There goes the deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Oh, what a home run. Over the grandstand, into the bleachers in deep left. It is a Judgian blast. Oh, all rise. Here comes the Judge.
That's the whole reason I threw that in there, because I've played that clip before, and I'm like, all right, typical John. And then at the end, there's that little...
What's he doing there?
The Judge. Yeah.
Here comes the Judge.
Sterling's feeling himself like Steph Curry right now. Oof. He wants the disrespect to end.
So right now, Sterling is doing a shimmy in the booth?
Yeah, he's tell me I can't see anything.
He does the hands.
Hash a go-go.
So 17 home runs for Judge, but the Yankees lost their third straight, falling to the Orioles 6-4. Now it's time to get stunned.
Yeah!
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
So we've got an audible at the line of scrimmage. There was a story about a Wisconsin man who was eating Big Macs every day. It kind of goes in line with the fast food theme on the show. But then I saw this from the New York Post.
This burger story is never going to get read. We were going to do it yesterday. They were going to do it today. We got
Cap's going to lose his mind.
He keeps building the graphic for the burger story.
Whoever's on tomorrow, it's all yours.
Erica has it tomorrow.
You've heard of the chicken pox?
Yeah.
But have you heard of the monkey pox?
I'm hearing about this. What's going on here?
So over 200 people in the state of Massachusetts are being monitored. The CDC issued a travel alert because there was the first confirmed patient in the United States that went back to Massachusetts. So people that have been in close contact are now being monitored for the monkey pox. There was a level 2 alert on Monday advising people to be careful because it's fatal in as many as 1 to 11% of people.
Why are we joking about it then with funny music?
We're not joking. It's the fact that this is now a thing in the United States.
What?
And how this is like, okay, just, yeah, now it's the monkeypox. And we're just like moving along with our lives. This is
so
ridiculous.
Great concern as whimsical, funny news story of the day is,
no.
Why is the world on the verge of another plague?
Get it? Get it? Get it? Forget the burgers we've been putting off, folks.
Get Bogus in here with somebody who chopped up their girlfriend again.
Oh, I love that story. Some cases appear to have stemmed from sexual activity at raves in Europe. And the CDC advisory...
Wait. Stem from what?
Sexual activity at raves across Europe.
I see. I thought you said with apes in Europe. Okay.
No.
I was like, monkeypox. Is that how we're getting monkeypox?
So the CDC said in bold in its warning, they had to bolden it, to avoid close contact with sick people, including those with lesions, but also to avoid contact with dead or live wild animals.
So chickenpox aren't from chickens.
Correct.
Monkeypox isn't from monkeys.
No.
So why do they call it monkeypox?
The lesions.
What? Yeah, the pictures that they've shown.
You're getting big clumpy lesions over your hands and stuff that start to make your body look like a monkey's body. Yes, I actually did research into this because I didn't understand where the name came from. So like on your hands start to look like monkey hands.
Yeah, it's awful.
Monkey hands.
Yes.
16 countries where the disease has been confirmed as of Monday outside of the parts of Africa where it's traditionally been contained.
What made you choose this story to do Stunned to a News to?
Because I just thought it would be fun to change it up.
Because you're terrified of...
No, I'm not afraid.
Your
fun to change it up? Fun
yeah,
to change
I was
it up?
Like,
here's the plague, folks.
My honest thought was had already done the Big Mac story because it was from like 3 or 4 days ago. I almost went in there and I'm like, hey, did you guys do the Big Mac story?
Concerned of pivoting from Big Mac story to freaking lesions.
Oh, my God.
Stay safe, everybody.
So this started at raves?
So that's, I guess, in Europe... You know.
What? What? In Europe, you know. What?
I guess they're a little more liberal over there.
What does that mean?
They said sexual activity at raves in Europe.
Is that how you can contract monkeypox? Is that the origin of monkeypox?
They said that was one of the possible outbreaks.
Well, STDs can get spread a lot of different ways, but is there a different STD just because you're at a rave? You're like on a bunch of Molly listening to... EDM music?
Lots of Heinekens. Vroom vroom party starter.
Okay. Analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the mothership's advanced analytics.
Okay, back on track. What have you thought about this year's NBA playoffs? Have they been awesome? Have they been boring? Or, you know, just kind of fine? For 62% of you, they've been boring. 27% said fine. Only 10% said they've been awesome. A big fan of the NBA playoffs is the Wizard of Watch DA Andrew Kaplan. The Research Bureau tells us that the analytics department has gathered from the Wizard his reasons why the NBA is awesome. The Pelicans putting it together without Zion. Patrick Beverley crying after the play-in victory. Luka's postseason domination. The Warriors returning a young and old blend to the NBA Finals. Embiid with a face mask. Giannis, unguardable. Boston versus Kyrie and Jason Tatum reaching superstar status. Those are the reasons that Andrew Kaplan has enjoyed this year's NBA postseason. It is a Trash Tuesday, and Andrew Kaplan and Jack Stern both attended the University of Colorado. David on Instagram tweets or posts, I'm trashing my University of Colorado alma mater. They have Jack Stern. They gave him a degree. What a downgrade in student acceptance. Trash them.
We're eroding.
That's so wrong.
That's really. This is now bordering on slander. I'm not here for it.
That's actually mean.
That really is mean. But here is today's epic fail. As Greg Caserta in for headlines this morning has waged war against the one and only Jack Stern.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Jack Stern's fingers are anxiously awaiting puck drop so he can fire out his wonderful hockey tweets.
He stinks and I don't like him.
I had to mute Jack on Twitter because I want to tell him to
shut up.
I like to eat it raw sometimes or on a piece of plain toast.
Merez, what's the angle? Is he a Rangers fan? Does he watch for the officiating? Not everything has to be a Tom Rinaldi human interest story.
That's such a good way to put it.
It's so succulent and delicious.
Now, we're going to go to a regular tweet, since we're picking on him today. This is fun. So,
today?
In response to the Saban-Jimbo Fisher back and forth. Although the Saban dynasty is far from over, last week's pettiness from the King of Tuscaloosa signified fatigue in more ways than not. Shut up.
I call you Damon. Most people call you DA.
I hate when thought has to be put into it. Like, because it takes him time to write this stuff.
It's sports. Oh, no. That was his column on the website. Saban Fisher rift could signal beginning of the end for Jedi Master.
What?
Oh.
Shut up.
Yeah, so I'd rather do this than tackle him head on because he's such a good kid. I don't want him to think that
he's a good kid.
We're still good. We're still cool, right?
He really is a good kid.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to get the fat man excited. That's all I can say.
Yeah, but Shep's a good kid, too. You could be a good kid and suck.
Yeah, your Twitter can suck and you could still be a good person.
But Shep's not a kid anymore.
Well, the DA show had some fun with it.
Oh, they've been going after you?
Yeah, I mean, they do it in good fun.
It's true. Shep's lived a life at this point. He's been here almost since the beginning of the network. You know, Jack really is young. He's,
yeah.
What, 22 or 23 or something.
So. Yeah, I guess Shep's taught kids in Memphis that already have better jobs than him.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Dixieland Dan tweets, this show is going to be known as the West Babylon Rye. He starts farting at people. It's going to be a whole mess. Yeah, who knows? Ed tweets, I'm trashing the trash truck driver on my way to work. It's a skinny street, and the truck takes up most of the street, so he moves up only to move in an even tighter spot that I can't get around. Trash him.
Totally gross, dude.
Yeah, a week from Friday, it's going to be an absolute disaster at Bob's Bar. I don't even know what to make of the whole thing. We've got a logistics meeting coming up here in about 5 minutes from now, and hopefully we'll have answers for you tomorrow.
5 minutes.
All right, that'll do it for us. It was a slipshod show, to say the very least. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Velotti on the Wheels of Steel audio director. Thanks to Greg Caserta on your headlines. And thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. I'm DA. Be good and be good to one another. We'll do better tomorrow. The Mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.